Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah. Hello, Johnny D's in Somerville, Massachusetts. Welcome. Harmontown is now in session. Won't you please put your hands together for the mayor of Harmontown, Dan Harmon.
Well, thank you, Somerville. We've already had our first injury, Jeff. I don't know if you saw my entrance, but it was less than graceful. I took out either a busboy or a cop or I don't know. I'll find out later in the basement. This used to be an old cop bar, they say. It's a very, very old architecture in the basement. You can see the firsthand effects of the fact that at the turn of the century, people, they never grew beyond 3 feet tall. There's just a system of hobbit holes down there. There's just millions of miles of concrete, stucco, just half-built chairs, old bull whips, a corpse of a guy dressed as Santa Claus in a bathtub. Just weird shit from like weird old days when Somerville was not the best managed town in the United States. voted in the Boston Globe best managed town. I Wikipedia'd you motherfuckers. There's some funny shit in their Wikipedia entry. I don't think the guy that did most of the editing of your Wikipedia entry was on the tourist board. But I'm all over the place. What am I doing? Anyways, I wiped some guy out. Somebody write him a check. That was my point. In the 1890s, people just, when this place was probably built, I think people just ate dirt and smoked cigarettes all day. They didn't have vitamins, so everything is kind of shrunken down there. So I have a lot of stuff.
Yeah, and the mirrors are all, because the ceilings are so low, the mirrors just give you a perfect view of your balls. It's just like everything was hung by like a deranged midget leprechaun down there.
Somerville, Jeff. Some facts about it. Just to get to know each other. Most important fact, I think, I'm assuming that the Somervillians would have you know, it's not Boston. But there's probably a lot of Bostonians here that made the drive. But Somerville's very proud of its independence, I think. You know, we're just north of Boston. Might as well be Boston, but it's a little more wicked, a little less retarded. We don't know. Let's find out. Well, we don't know.
We'll find out the wickedness to retarded ratio.
Major exports, Goodwill Hunting photos. a lot of bars of a lot of Matt Damon and Ben Affleck on the wall here.
A lot of Colin Quinn lookalikes walking around.
I'm from Milwaukee, so I know. Yeah, there's a lot of my uncles here, in spirit. That's good. That makes me feel at home. I know how you guys like them apples. I guess I don't. I know you like your screenplays horrible, but I don't know how you like your apples. Yeah. You know what? Everyone gets a pet peeve. Everyone gets one.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna go around to the bars and take all the Matt Damon photos off the wall. I'm just a petty, jealous asshole. William Goldman wrote that script. Okay.
But you
look
hate,
it up.
You hate that one scene with the apples more than anything. That really sticks in your
throat. That really fucking sick. I do not like those apples. I do not like that scene. I don't understand. Is that banging on a window? How do you like them apples? And the guy bothers to say, yes, I like them. I let's continue to have this conversation. Why? Who would ever do that? It completely removes me from the movie. And then if that didn't remove you from the movie, Mini Driver's face. Now I don't know. It's the Boston air. I'm getting jocular and mean. I don't mean to do that. I'm sorry. There's a ghost of like police brutality in the basement. You can just tell. It was an old cop bar, and you just know that unofficial police procedures happen down there. Yeah. There's too many choices walking up to the stage. We walked 6 miles. Remember the scene in Spinal Tap? Like, it was we have a shot of us walking. But beyond the scene in Spinal Tap, there was, like, every 3 feet, there was a way to go that way, a way to go that way. And you would just see, like, a glimpse of a sink with, like, a wig.
We should play our D&D down there.
Yeah, we could. We could do, I think they call it LARPing. Live action role playing. Facts about Somerville. The typewriter was invented here?
Not true.
Okay, all right.
Not true.
Sometimes you get lazy. The original choice for Somerville's new name when they broke away from Charleston, Charlestown? Charleston. Yeah. They broke away from those assholes. And their original choice for a name was Walford, after the first settler. But then they just changed it to Somerville, which means this Walford guy, like, something turned up, right? Like, there's no mention. No one knows why they changed it to Somerville. That sounds like a hasty, like decision after you, like went to Walford's house to go, congratulations, here's your plaque. What is that in your living room?
Come on.
That's my daughter. Yeah, and my mom.
It's the old joke. You fuck one sheep.
something went down at the Walford estate, and then they just picked the name Somerville. And no one here knows why they picked the name Somerville. They actually had a historical commission look into it, and they said it just seems like they said it was a purely fanciful name. It's adorable. It's better than Boston.
Boston.
Well, who picked that name?
A lot of, like, those, like in California where we're from, there's places like Thousand Oaks, and you know, there's just no oaks. There's not a thousand of them anyway. And those used to be really embarrassing names, like Butt Crack Creek and stuff like that, because they were old, like you know, like it was the West, and so a lot of things were called the Big Titty Mountains. That's the Grand Teton.
Yeah, we have history too, where we come from.
Also,
but listen to this bit of history, Jeff. In keeping with this is the first town that I want to read entire sections of the Wikipedia entry. I think it's just, this is just so interesting and uncomfortable. Just hold your applause until the end of this paragraph, or laughter, or cringing, or crying, or walking out, whatever your reaction you have to this. Hold it till the end. Paul Revere, in one account he wrote of his ride to warn the colonists, mentions a location in Somerville, then part of Charleston. The location was the site where 20 years earlier a local slave known as Mark, owned by John Codman, was publicly gibbeted.
Wait.
Well, more on that later. The location is probably near the site of the present-day Holiday Inn on Washington Street. Not written by the Holiday Inn people, not written by Somerville's Tourism Bureau. Just pop by. You're gonna have a continental breakfast on Sundays. A black person got gibbeted.
But Dan, that means he was treated to expert luxury and comfort.
No, I looked it up. I wanted to know what gibbeted is. Gibbeted is like at its most humane, it's basically just putting a dude in a cage and like letting him die of thirst. It's like they did it at like crossroads and things to like warn if you murdered or stole or whatever. God knows what this poor guy did. And so there was like a public warning and probably counts as torture. I think I don't know where we stand on that now.
Wait, so they put you in a cage and you're left there.
Yeah, and then you just die.
So so I have been gibbeted at Holiday Inn before.
Nice.
Oh, booyah!
White people problems.
I went to a Holiday Inn and somewhere like it was called like Indiana, Pennsylvania. It was the most complicated little turnpike town, and there was nothing to do. And we went to a Holiday Inn, and it was the only hotel I've ever been in. Not only was there no closet, there was no the hair dryer and the TV didn't work at the same time. I haven't seen that since the 70s, where like the hair dryer affected the reception on the TV. But also no windows, no windows in a hotel room. It was really, really creepy. It was really like being in a prison cell.
I have some hotel complaints along the way, I guess.
And then the slogan downstairs is, relax, it's Holiday Inn. But the line reading is, relax, it's Holiday Inn.
Yeah, this is America. You live in a honeycomb of cement and glass. You start your own hotel. Good luck. Yeah, we're part of the. Relax, it's a military-industrial complex. You're sleeping in a bed made by people who make missiles, probably. Everything's taken care of. Just dig your ditch and die.
Holiday Inn, gibbeting since 1742.
Who says gibbeting has to be uncomfortable? Slowly die of thirst. You know what's weird is at this Comfort Inn that we were at, like another ironically
named. Yeah, now they're all going to come over.
No, they're not. It's 48,000 miles. Everyone come over to the Comfort Inn where the East 93 meets the fucking cave of where the Pirates of the Caribbean are. We are out of town. We are out of town. And there's no water in the hotel. That was a new thing. Yeah. There was a machine in the lobby that has a water button, and I pressed it and nothing came out. And we all know when you press a water button, you're thirsty. Like, you usually accidentally get the amount of water you kind of feel like getting. When you're thirsty enough to seek out a water button, you get bummed when water don't come out. Like that was some Wile E. Coyote shit that they pulled. And then I started pressing juice buttons, and like none of them worked.
Yeah, I think that's a continental breakfast machine that you get water and juice,
in the morning
from 7 to 9:30
a.m.
Right.
Hey, Jeff.
Yes, Dan.
Fluff the marshmallow cream was invented here in Somerville.
There's a look of real pride in the crowd right now.
Well, they're into it. You guys, don't people eat like marshmallow cream and like
Fluffer Nutters?
Which that sounds good. I will take that. Do you do it with Nutella ever? All right, we're not so different. We can get along.
Somerville's the home of Fluff. That's so cool.
It was invented here. It doesn't say when, but I assume when
1325.
1325. Yes. Blackbeard is here. Fluffbeard.
Yeah, it was a member of the Mohawk tribe.
There's a druid in the audience that turned lead into fluffy marshmallow cream using the moon and a gibbeted woman. Okay, just a couple more things because I don't know. I'm fascinated, Jeff. I love history. I love Somerville. The first residential phone line. This is interesting to me. The first residential phone line in the United States in 1877 was installed here. It went from Charles Williams Jr.'s house to Alexander Graham Bell's place in Boston, where he was working on telephonics.
Wow.
So there was some guy that lived here that was so rich and powerful that as soon as he heard there was a phone being invented, equivalent of this, like I was an iPhone douche for a while. Like you go like, when's it coming out? I want my assistant to stand in line for it. Like some guy was like, what's Alexander Graham Bell working on in Boston? It's, I don't know, it's some kind of thing. You can talk to people without being there. It's like, oh, I want it to come to my house. I want the first one. And they just like installed it.
He just called Alexander Graham Bell every day. Like,
what's going on? I'm working on the fucking thing you're talking to me on. Can you hang up so I can test it some more? I'm just making sure it still works. I'm not going to pay my bill at the end of the month if it's not working right. I think that's about it for the history of Somerville. Except most recently, Jeff, there's a big rebirth story here. What were you going to say? Did I cut you off?
No, go on.
Well, no, baby, come on.
I was going to open it to the floor and... Baby, let's not fight, baby. Don't do me that way. I was going to say, if maybe someone out there has some historical tidbits and nuggets.
Well, I bet they do. That segues into this one little chapter, because I read another thing in the Wikipedia page. Right before the 90s, like this place in the 90s, like it had this incredible like gentrification effort that happened. And before that, they had a nickname for this place, Slummerville. It was the purportedly it was the car theft capital of the United States. That's pretty amazing. Like, because why isn't that New York? Why isn't like you gotta steal a lot of cars, like to not be like New York or LA and
was
be
that per capita?
Car theft capital? I don't know if it was per capita. Maybe that's what it was. Maybe people have six cars each here. And then
say what?
It was a racket. What do you mean? Like you were falsely branded? Wait. What did you say?
My birth was financed that way.
Your birth was financed that way.
Wait, was it like a mob racket?
Are you saying? Can you? Are you willing to come up here, or do you need to have a shadow across your face your voice changed? Yeah.
Are you in the relocation program?
Because what it sounds like we're hearing is that
get on up here. What's your name?
Kara.
Kara, everybody.
I think what she might be saying, she's got like a Harmontown t-shirt.
Yeah.
Oh, did you make that?
I did.
I get off on tangents? Very nice. All right, Somerville. We may do some crowd surfing yet. I don't know if you heard Brooklyn, but I indulged a 40th birthday fantasy.
Hey.
And crowd surfed there. Here, I think I'll just end up with an ass full of hot wings. It's not your fault. You have more comfortable seating than in Brooklyn. They were able to lift my fat ass to the back of the room. Anyways, Kara, I'm assuming what you're alluding to is like some kind of organized crime chapter of your history.
Yeah.
Cars were being stolen and restolen and.
Exactly. Yeah. All
right. So you would pretend your car got stolen as an insurance racket or what?
Yeah. Basically, that was it. And I have to say, like, this story runs through my family. Obviously, I wasn't there. But the hospital bill needed to get paid. And so, yeah, there was an insurance policy on the car. And it just happened to get left with the doors open and the keys in it.
What's that square that used to be, that was, like, the most notorious place for theft? What was it? Assembly Square?
Assembly Square, yeah.
So, like, you couldn't leave anything if it wasn't nailed down. And then in the 90s, like, well, how does that work? There were artists and
T Station came in, Davis Square T Station. That's how you did. The MBTA, the subway.
Oh, okay. So the subway was built that allowed people to like kind of flood into Somerville and turn it into what the Boston Globe called the best managed city in the United States. I assume that means the cleanest government and if I'm about to spit out my gum, like a robot comes by and grabs it, or. I don't know what does best managed city mean, but sounds good.
So, I mean, didn't the insurance companies here kind of like, you know, like, didn't they smell a rat, or was everybody profiting off of this?
I mean, I hear it was a pretty good time for a pretty long time.
You're getting nervous.
Yeah.
There's a red dot on your forehead. A laser.
Yeah, are we sure there's not a statute of limitations on that? Your parents are going to go to jail after this podcast drops?
Could we arrange that?
Yeah. All right, let's talk about this.
It's going to be a new crime wave. Somerville's going to be the murder, the falling downstairs capital of the world. A lot of starving artists that flooded into the 90s are now realizing that they need to weld something for a living. And
is there trouble at home?
Oh, no, I'm just trying to keep up the tradition of, you know, mob. Mob death. I don't know.
Mob whacking your family?
Exactly. Yeah. I'm trying to get made. You know.
Are you Italian?
I am. Yeah.
What? Okay. And full 100% Italian?
Siciliana.
Wow.
Yeah.
Piacere.
Yeah, I know.
Is there anybody Polish here? I don't know. Wash your dupa.
Wash your dupa.
Yeah, dupa means butt. My busha, my grandma, used to tell me to wash my dupa.
Nice.
Did I ever tell you about my great grandma busha, Jeff?
I think a little bit.
Yeah, she murdered some people. I think it's safe to say now that she's dead. I was going to say finally dead, but that would sound mean. I just mean finally in the sense that she lived to like 108 or something, and she took some fuckers out with her. Like,
she
was
a blood or something. Or?
She was just hard. She was a hard drinker. She was a vaudevillian.
Familiar?
They always said you should talk to Grandma Busha. You guys share something. Like maybe it skips two generations. Like whatever you are, and then I'd go and like, what was vaudeville like? And she'd go, what the fuck do you think it was like? Give me a drink. I was on stage, right? I had an umbrella. It was a poodle. I don't know. But then she would, like, you know, we had to boycott Christmas a lot because she would do one of those things where she would point at her cheek and say, give me a kiss. And then she'd swivel into it and, like, basically French her grandsons. Like, she was into it. Like,
wait, didn't she, like, stab a dude?
She stabbed a dude. She said he fell on the scissors. 9 times. I don't know how you fall on scissors 9 times in your crotch area.
On a trampoline?
Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure. But I think that was like when she was in her 70s. So I think the cops thought, Because we were watching a Packer game in Wisconsin, and like this thing came over the, you know, they do local news stuff over the Packer game, and some, you know, some local guy said, "Oh, here's a human interest piece. 70-something-year-old woman is being brought in for questioning regarding the possible homicide of her roommate." sounds funny. and we all joked in the living room, like, "Oh, Grandma Boucher." And then the phone rang. And it was the police, and it was like her one phone call, and like she had a quarrel with this lover of hers that she was living with, and then we don't know what happened from there, but we know it ended with him dying after receiving a few punctures with a pair of scissors below his waistline.
Oh.
Wow.
And I think that the cops thought, she's 70, any sentence is a life sentence, let her go. And she went on a fucking spree for 30 years.
14 people dead.
Like there is start. Like, Grandma Bush is amazing. Like she. I have news items on tape. I'm sorry, Kara. Pull up a bowl of peanuts or something. I don't know. I just want to tell you about my grandma.
It is well worth surrendering the liberty of a member of my family. You know, through my stories to get at yours.
I mean, I would apologize for the tangent, but
yeah, exactly.
I mean, we. Yeah.
She's getting off right now.
I should charge you for it. she at one point there's a news item that we have on VHS tape for some of you kids. There was a thing called VHS and thank you, sir. This is this guy in a like he's like a veteran in a wheelchair. I remember VHS. Thank you, sir. I got Top Gun on Betamax. I'm a real American. Me too. Sinbad of the 70 Seas is Tron. Yes. All right. Just leave me alone for a second. I just want to I have OCD. Like, I want to finish my Grandma Boucher thing. Like, she...
Boucher means grandma, right?
Boucher means grandma, so she was my... You know, like
she's grandma.
Yeah. It's like...
Salsa sauce.
Like, Boucher's like Mima. You know, Irish people say Mima. You know, some people say pop for like grandpa. It's like pop. Boucher, she was Grandma Boucher, so she was grandma.
Yeah.
So she's 600. So she was on the news again, decades after successfully murdering a man. This blows my mind. Someone tried to steal her microwave. We think it was like a drinking buddy that she owed money to, and like
she was 90.
She was like at least 90, yeah, something like that.
Awesome.
She had a scuffle with this person that tried to steal her microwave, and the person took a butcher knife and slashed her in the throat. It's a happy ending. Depending on where you fall on Grandma Boucher being out there. Maybe not for the police, it's not a happy ending.
Not for the DA.
And then she, according to her recollection of the event, like this person got away with the microwave, slashed her in the throat, and she was laying there for a while and was like, "Oh, someone will come find me." And then she thought, "No one's going to come find me. I'm Grandma Boucher." So she got up, wrapped a towel around her neck, and walked to the emergency room where they sewed her neck back up. And there's a tape that circulates among my family of the local news report that's like, "Oh, they didn't know, like they should have done their research and made this into more of a character, but this is a whole new generation of news reporters just going, hey, here's a funny thing. This really old lady got slashed in the throat and she lived and she wrapped a towel." And then they show this doctor, like they get the statement from him, and you can see the emergency room behind him, and he's just giving a statement, and he's just has this look on his face like he just watched an episode of The Munsters or something. Like he doesn't know what he's going. A woman came in and about 90 years old, and she had her neck slashed like all the way across, and I put some stitches in it and she left. And he's so confused because everything he's learned about medicine has gone out the window.
But the weird thing was, she left through the air conditioning duct in the ceiling.
I think I patched a golem. I don't know what I did. Was it masonry that I did? All right, anyways, back to you, Kara. Did you get off on that tangent?
We're in polite company, I should say.
Sorry. All right, Kara, what can we do for you before you leave us? Let's reward you for coming up here and possibly incriminating yourself and your family.
Let's do some Harmontown wish fulfillment up here.
Yeah, like I don't know, I could go like, what's your big ambition in life? Like what's your unfulfilled
unfulfilled ambition? I'm a costume designer.
Right. And so do you want to be a big-time costume designer?
Yeah, that'd be great.
What does that entail? Like wait, how?
Being just about as poor as I am now, but probably in New York.
Right, okay.
Do you want to do it for film or for print or fashion? Or
theater. Yeah.
Great. All right. So, and currently you do it, like, here locally?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And do you pay your rent doing it, or?
Yeah, just about. I have a day job at a self-defense nonprofit.
A self-defense nonprofit.
Yes.
But that's not a very good day job. It's a non-profit.
It's true.
You
it's
keep
all...
looking at your time card and going, God, am I doing this wrong? I keep sliding in the machine. Yeah. It's a non-profit, Kara. Okay, so, all right. I think we can, let's thank Kara for coming up and let's reward her. Thank you, Kara. Thank you for making that T-shirt. That you can, that means,
sit down, Kara.
Yeah, okay, bye. All right.
I don't know. We're from Los Angeles. We have like showbiz shorthand. When you thank someone, it means fuck off. When you say I love it, it means I don't.
I didn't see it.
Yeah, I'm not gonna say anything about it until someone else says something about it, and then I can see whether I can make money off of it. But no, we would never say fuck off to Kara. Thank you, Kara. Let's do her big movie. Let's do her biopic.
Is it Kara or Kara?
Kara.
The story of Kara going from being a down and out Somerville costume designer, working at a nonprofit for a self defense organization, and making it big. Here it is. It's going to be 4 minutes long. You're going to love it. I'm in a sewing machine.
Oh, God. Kara?
Yes, Mr. Haberstrom.
I have some bad news for you. Your parents, that are both in jail for fraud, they were murdered by Grandma Boucher.
Finally.
Wait, whoa.
Was there any payout?
Nope.
Oh, damn my Italian blood.
Get back to work and sew those socks.
I should have stole my own cars like Dad. What chance does an honest girl like me have in this racket?
Harmontown tickets! Get your Harmontown tickets! Big famous screenwriter from Hollywood, California, coming out to Somerville, Massachusetts, making dreams come true!
Harmontown? That's the podcast I get off to. Sir, I'm just a poor costume designer. I only work in Somerville. Everyone basically wears whatever they want here.
You should come on down to Harmontown. I gotta warn you, the tickets are pretty overpriced for the content value. Seems to me just two jackasses grab-assing for an hour and a half. This guy rapping about fucking everybody's mama? That's not show business. Get a real job. Don't follow your dreams. I'm a threshold guardian. Fuck you, stranger.
You're wrong, mister.
I leave, but I accidentally drop a Harmontown ticket on my stupid ass Italian piece of shit. Fuck her. I got shit to do.
I got a worthless ticket to a relatively worthless show. I'm gonna go to Johnny D's where everyone else wants to go.
Everybody put your hands together for Dan Harmon!
Hey, Somerville! Waka, waka, waka! Wah, wah, wah! I farted the other day. It was so interesting. I got fired from community. Booty dooty booty doo.
Oh my god. It's 2 years later. I'm Kara, but now I'm taller and better looking. This guy, I just had 4 orgasms on that on the tangent he went off on.
Chevy Chase.
Can I come up on stage?
And then I saw her. That's when I saw her. Oh my god.
Sorry, I just came again.
What's your name, ma'am?
Kara. Grubezzilioni.
10 minutes later, at the end of the show.
Do I get the job?
Yes. All right. Well, that seemed... I don't know. That felt raucous. That felt... felt inappropriate. It felt...
It was a happy ending.
Get it?
Aw.
They're even growing. Like, what? Wait. There's a fine line you're treading here.
Wait. You're about to go to another beat. Where were you going to take it before I did a cheap shot?
Nah, you know, if I had done it, it would have been... Because I was thinking we were crossing the threshold of a love story, and then we would have gotten an apartment together. I would have probably thrown an ashtray at her and accidentally killed her. I don't know. I was thinking to myself as like Richard Gere in a thriller. Your choice was better. It was better. It was way better. I said 4 minutes. You delivered. Jeff, don't go to me for the professional entertainment.
I'm just saying, Kara, your path is clear tonight.
That's not.
Or any man or woman here looking for a job in Hollywood.
I have a perfect girlfriend. We'll check in with her later about how her relationship is holding up to this tour. I wanted to talk to you, Jeff, about okay. All right. We have. I don't know if we roll into this now because we just had a guest up here. But like, how you guys listen to the podcast and. So there's this guy Adam Goldberg who's in the show like kind of by sheer force of will he's in the show like he and he's not he's
describe
not,
his origin story for the people that hear that don't know him from the podcast.
He's this kid who I guess he was like an extra in Community. That's what he said. Like his origins are I pulled him out of the audience to read some of my brother's emails and I went to go get another drink, and then like he speaking of which the law says we're not allowed to have our bottle of Kettle up here. I don't know who our dedicated server is. Is it the guy I wiped out with the door? with ice?
Two.
Just the swish of that John Ritter door. Is our only answer. I mean, we can have a bucket of... It's so weird, the laws. It's different everywhere. Every city has fucked up laws about liquor. We were in... Was it Atlanta, where they had just recently overcome the idea that you couldn't buy liquor on Sunday, period?
I forget.
Some city. Like, they were, believe me, like, it's like these... Yeah, it's like, what? How does it... Like, what is some... I don't even know what to say about it. It's insane. People got to stop making laws, man. We got to start. We got to have a, you know, like they have that program where we're turning Russian nukes into like, you know, nuclear reactors for America. It's called something like megatons to megawatts or something like that. It's like a program which is really just like in your fucking face. We won the Cold War. Like give us all your dicks and we're going to turn them into toothbrush runners, you know, like we're just going to use your old world penises to like now just like make our Sealy posturpedic beds work. It's pretty brutal end to the Cold War. That's an example. Like disarmament, like sometimes we realize that we've stockpiled too much shit. We need to like start reducing it a little bit.
So Adam Goldberg,
what about I'm just trying to get Kara off. What about laws? Why can't we, Jeff? Why can't we dig into our vast surplus of ridiculous laws and boil them down into like a couple of simple rules, like don't be a dick and stuff, like so that.
Yeah, well, one guy tried it and they put him on a cross.
Ooh.
Is there? Oh, thank you. Perfect. Too soon. much too late. But it was too late like the next day. Yeah, well, you know what? Hey, maybe it's time for a lazy Jesus that doesn't get crucified to come through. And instead of getting killed, maybe I could just live to 80 and tell people what to do. I'll volunteer. That's a form of crucifixion, like playing video games and masturbating. Right?
You do actually have kind of a Christ complex, though, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. I feel burdened by these people's needs.
Holy shit, we got like.
All right.
Talk about armaments. We got a vodka stockpile.
So the rules say we can't have a bottle up on the table, but we can't. So we can just have a choo-choo train of. So whatever that law was protecting, whatever good it was doing, like how is that, you know, like ostensibly like there's a 19-year-old girl in the audience and like deciding whether or not drinking is cool, and like the God forbid she see that bottle, but this is gonna make it so much harder for her to go down my path.
Thank you. Did you bring them, sir?
I did.
What's your name?
Matt,
everybody.
Did I hit you with the door? Sorry, Matt. Are you okay? Can you come up and tell everyone you're okay? Is that all right to ask you to do that? Hey, Matt.
I'm fine. I'm doing pretty well today.
Okay.
You didn't hit me that hard.
Okay. Were you standing in front of the door because you were going to open it for me?
I was. I was about to serve one of my tables.
That would have been the first like cool like no one ever opened a door for me like and I just banged into him. He was going to go like this, like I'm Batman or something, and he's Alfred. Like, he was going to go like, here you are, and I fucked him up. What'd you say?
Restart.
Restart? Oh, well, I don't know. Is that, somebody said restart, let him open the door for you. I think the ratio of time spent to entertainment received, I don't know. It's hard to make a judgment call there, but then again, you go, why are you bringing him up on stage? What how do you explain the first 40 minutes of your show? Thank you very much. Everyone's a critic.
Does that mean I can
leave? Why don't you go watch Good Will Hunting again? You know?
Inception,
yes. I'm sorry. you didn't buy a ticket to this ride.
How long have you worked here? Matt, you said, right?
Yeah.
How long have you worked here?
Oh, about 6 months or so.
Oh, yeah. Pretty new then.
Yeah. Sure.
You enjoy it?
I love it.
You do? Good.
It is.
What's the best thing about working here?
Just the kinds of people I meet, I think, and all the attention I get for no reason, like right now. Like,
How many times in that 6 months that you've worked here have you done a freestyle rap with somebody up on stage?
Yo, 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 yo. Is it Matt?
Yeah.
Yo, Matt, on the mic. I'm talking Matt, he's the guy I like. Banged into his shoulder when I came through the door. I fucked your mamas cause they all are whores. I'm sorry, I didn't mean it. I fucked your mama, I tried to clean it up afterward. I fucked your mama, that's the word, Matt. And Matt's gonna rap.
I'm sorry, I'm pretty white.
What was your name again?
Dan. I'm Dan.
Dan! Nice to meet you, Dan.
Nice to meet you.
Yo, Dan, you hit me with the door, man. Woke me. Kind of hit my nose, but that's all right, because this job is really great. I'd like to thank you for keeping me up here, even though I'm not getting paid for this shit. I'm not really rhyming, I'm just kind of complaining, and you can hear me. Also, a tip for the vodka would be pretty cool.
Oh, right, okay. Sure. MC Matt! Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Wait, is this... That's how you use stage time. You and me are not going to make money on this tour.
That guy has made $15 more on this trip than I'm going to.
Yeah, like Aaron, my girlfriend.
My
like,
credit card was shut off today from expenditures on this trip.
Yeah. Well, because our trail looks like a thief's. No one hangs out in Austin and then Atlanta. Like, what are you doing? Yeah, knock it off.
Charlotte to Brooklyn in one night. I don't think so.
You stole a TV. But he did 5 minutes, turned it into 20, 40 bucks. What?
I gave him 10. What'd you give him?
I gave him 20. Yeah.
Yeah, but
you're one-fifth dukedom.
You're going to drink more of that vodka.
Oh yeah, I will cause damage to this place financially. the advantage will be mine. No, that's not true. I'm going to keep it straight and narrow tonight.
Now I want to say something. There's a girl that came to the show tonight. She gave me a gift before the show. I wear tie clips a lot, and I lost a tie clip once that I had engraved that said Federal Bikini Inspector on it, and then I lost it, and I hope whoever has it enjoys that Federal Bikini Inspector tie clip. But this girl Samantha made me this one, and it occurred to us. Thank you, Samantha. It occurs to us. There's been times when we've been on the road, and like somebody will bring us like a bottle of Kettle One backstage. But like I've been looking around town, the front of my shoe is kind of the leather's kind of coming off, and I'm trying to find some shoe goo, but you can't find it anywhere. So where are we going? Providence, Rhode Island?
This is the segment of the show where we ask for shit. Yeah, we'll be in Rhode Island.
I'll
tomorrow.
Pay for it, but we just don't have time to stop and do anything. So I'm saying Providence, little tube of shoe goo.
I could use some Prilosec. I'm 40 years old.
What is that?
I forgot to leave town with it. It's heartburn medication. Again, we will pay you for it.
Aaron wrote down Sharpie pens, two toothbrushes, and safety pins.
Okay, all right. So if you're coming to Rhode Island, are you listening? Come with a basket. This is how like Egypt like mythology started. Like people are just like, hey, I could use a tangerine. I'll make it rain on Wednesday. People are just coming and like, yeah. Well, that's not charismatic of us to ask for.
I will pay for the shoe goo. You have toothbrushes? Are they used or? Well, okay, bring it up.
This is a weird table full of gypsies that brought toothbrushes. That's really rude. Gypsies is an offensive phrase.
Or
now.
It's like the end of Let's Make a Deal.
I didn't mean gypsies as an ethnic phrase. I think that's become an offensive ethnic term. I just meant traveling vendors of fortune telling and werewolf curses.
This show brought to you by the all new Oral B Advantage.
Holy shit! All right. Well, let's see. Things are already working great. It's like
okay, Providence. We just need one toothbrush now.
I would like to raise a barn in back if maybe I'll just live here. We'll just build me a house.
You have a toothbrush in Brighton?
Yeah.
Is that nearby?
Yeah.
Go get it.
A lady just called out, I have a toothbrush in Brighton.
Well, hopefully you all have toothbrushes at your homes.
Yeah. It's not a competition, ma'am.
You really work for a toothbrush company?
Yes.
Oh. Huh. So you have a factory of toothbrushes in Brighton.
If I had known this, not Brighton, but...
Were they being cutesy by putting it in Brighton?
No.
My question is, were they being cutesy? I wasn't being cutesy. You can't groan me.
This woman right here works in a dental office. So yeah.
Let's get them up and have them fight.
We didn't know until now. We didn't know that we could put you motherfuckers to work like this.
I'm sorry. Well, we are humble people. We live in a world where busboys shake us down for $50. Like, well, that's the treatment we're used to. We don't this much love. We're not used to. Oh, no, I didn't mean Boston. Oh, nobody's ripping on Boston. Boston's ripping on everybody. Oh, that's an example of ripping on... It is like a, you know, it's like when you roll into the town, like there is like a little whispers of like, oh, shit, Boston. That town's legit. They're working class. They don't pronounce their R's. They're going to heckle you.
Yeah. I wouldn't say that people here are rough or mean. I think I'd say some of them maybe a little bit more aggressive, maybe like a little bit more like upfront, you know, like candid in your face. Is that apt? Yeah. Hey, take it easy.
I think that's it. Yeah, that's because we have friends from Boston in L.A. Like they have a certain swagger that reminds us of shitty Matt Damon movies.
Jen Kirkman?
Is Jen Kirkman from Boston?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Jen Kirkman's a good friend of ours. What? Oh, Lowell. Well, so, yeah.
Is this one of those towns in Massachusetts where the science is now entering Somerville? But it's really funny when, like, now entering Beverly, which sounds like a porn title.
Jessica, Massachusetts. All right. Well, so I got off on a lot of tangents there because we were about to. Look, here's the thing. We got this guy, Adam Goldberg. Remember?
The greatest adventure is what lies ahead.
Remember at 8:15 when I mentioned Adam Goldberg? He's like a regular in the LA shows. He's like this. It's like, you know how Indiana Jones had Belloc? Like every hero has a shadow he casts. Like, and you don't know whether to like him or like, he's like a brother demon. A lot of my fans are self-styled Dan Harmons, like talented writers who can't make eye contact. And a lot of my conversations with my fans look like two guys staring at the floor and accidentally insulting each other back and forth. Like, guys, there's a lot of, hey, well, no, it's not just you, but I was thinking about you. I'm an awkward person and I have an awkward flock.
So Adam is this little guy and he comes up on stage and in Harmontown, clearly we've proven that a lot of it is people coming up and us getting to know who's out there and stuff. And now, Adam has got this sort of swagger now that he just kind of storms the stage like a bull.
He's become our Hamburglar. Yeah. Like in the mythology, he's like a guy like people in the live LA audiences don't like him as much as the podcast listeners because people in the live LA audiences are sitting next to the stage and they're going, I could get up there too, but I don't. You're a dick. But people listening are going, I can't ever get up there, so he's my hero. He's like one of those bomb-diffusing robots, just putting himself into the Hurt Locker every time. And then we're mean to him, and then he comes back for more, and we like him, and it's like, are we being Howard Stern, or is that good or bad? Is this guy a genius or an idiot, or is he a hero or a villain?
It seems to be kind of a weird, it's really a toss-up among our audience, and some people really like support and love him, some people don't know, some people wish he wouldn't do that so much. So we don't really know where it stands.
And we're fascinated with them, and that's the important thing.
But more
and here's
important
the
than
thing.
That, yeah.
Tonight, here in Somerville, it turns out... No, Adam's not with us for the simple reason that we have a special unit of the police check the bottom of the bus every night with what I call Cape Fear mirrors. Adam is not here. But... Adam Goldberg's two brothers are here. Noah and Harry. Are you guys willing to come up? Noah and Harry? Are you here? Here they come.
All right.
So now we're going to get to the bottom of some shit, I think. Hello. Holy crap. Wait.
Shake your hand.
Noah. He said, I don't know if I should shake your hand.
I've listened.
Dan's always been a little bit nicer. Jeff's always been the one to, really just shit pretty hard.
Really?
Well, Jeff will say stuff like, shut the fuck up, Adam. Get off stage.
Right.
And Dan will say, please shut the fuck up.
Right. Or I'll say, well, we're all Adam Goldberg a little bit. At what point do I, where does the bully become the victim?
My question, we love Adam, but we kind of hate him a little bit, too.
So, all right.
Are you listening, Adam?
Yeah.
All the questions that you've asked, we've asked ourselves. for a long time.
I thought we'd get answers, but it's a special kind of answer that there's just more questions. That's fine, too. It's like black hole research.
It's to the point now, you guys, that after the show, he follows me to my car, and if we go to a bar after the show, then he follows. Like, even if I don't say the bar I'm going to, sometimes he's just there, and he'll follow me to my car then. Like, I know he's harmless. There's no concern there, but he's a very forward guy. Right, you'd have to
absolutely.
You'd have to allow that.
He's diabolical. I mean, he's a genius. Like he's always calculating
evil
and
genius.
Yeah, possibly evil. So when you guys were growing up, are you both older brothers?
Yeah, we're 3 years older.
So did you tie him to trees and like?
Oh, we were really bad to him.
Yeah.
My dad says that the worst day of his life was when he realized that the kid tormenting him was actually two kids tormenting him. Because we're twins, so we work as a team.
Oh, you guys are twins. Oh.
Yeah, right. So we work as a team, and, you know, it's easy to trick your three-year-old brother, 3 years younger, into doing whatever you want.
Yeah, and then when you get tired of fucking with him, you just tag out, and the other guy comes in.
Yeah, we used to pull him out of his crib to play. Like, this was harmless.
I would climb up and try to toss him down, and whoops. Like, he couldn't catch very well.
Adam, I take it all back, man.
Yeah, this is
holy shit.
So maybe there's your origin story.
And you know, we would walk into like my parents' room, and you go, "Dad, the baby's crying. Don't know what's going on."
This is interesting.
Guess he
somebody,
fell on
somebody,
his head.
Somebody audibly said, "Jesus." That's good. This is
stuff. We did it out of love, but like.
So yeah, sounds loving.
4-year-olds can't catch. Like,
it's interesting when you remove the glasses from Adam Goldberg, age him up a little, and move him to Boston. It's a Jimmy Kimmel thing that starts to happen. You guys look like
I've got Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah, yeah. But you're twins, and you know, are you identical? Are you genetically identical?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
So I guess.
I guess when you go home tonight, you can go, "Dan Harmon called me fat," I guess. And used DNA to prove it. But I didn't mean it to happen that way. And I'm not, I'm fatter than you. I didn't mean it. I wasn't.
I mean.
I stumbled into it.
How many pictures on Google Images come up of you, man?
Oh, man, like, dude. Yeah. Yeah, no, believe me. Like, before you leak any celebrities' voicemails, make sure you've taken a lot of thin pictures. Like, don't. Yeah, like, and make sure your teeth aren't yellow. Like, that humbled me greatly. That phase. Like, Dan Harmon's at it again. Hey, the TMZ photoshopping M&Ms on my chin. I believe me. I did not mean it. Wait, which one are you, Noah or Harry?
I'm Harry.
Harry, Noah. Okay. All right. Well, what can we do special with him, Jeff? So, like in preparation of going back home to Adam, like yeah, we met your brothers.
What are we at? What
is your problem now?
Oh yeah. So you guys both live here still,
right?
And so when did he move away to LA?
About a year and a half or so ago.
And how was that partying? Was it bittersweet, or did you like get the fuck out of here?
The after party was way better.
Well, Adam got on the bus, and then a guy in surprise! A cop outfit blew a whistle. YMCA.
We've always had the plan that somehow Adam was going to be the one to make all the money and be able to take care of us. And,
okay.
That hasn't happened.
Right.
Yet.
Well,
no, it hasn't happened yet.
He's working on it.
How old is Adam?
Like, evil genius. The key part is genius.
For sure. And I think that's what buys it all back. Like, he's. Like, sometimes he goes into these rants that are like, you know, they're kind of ill-timed, and his sense of like kind of verbal rhythm kind of like doesn't hit the eardrums in the right pattern. But he's like, what? He's a kid. He's like 20 something. But you know, when you actually listen to what he's saying, he's like, you know,
a lot
like,
of people,
holy shit, he's really smart.
A lot of people don't know what to make of him.
I mean,
understatement.
Yeah.
But the thing is that once you get his character and his personality, a lot of the stuff he says is pretty genius.
Genius.
I think he works well with an editor. Like,
no, well, it's the comedy rule of threes, right? One out of three things he says is funny.
Like,
Yeah, yeah.
Like, obviously, you're a writer. You know this. Like, you don't do it all yourself. You need a team around
exactly.
you to...
Like, if we could have cut out me accidentally calling you fat, like, I would be, like, a great fucking
That's
host.
My favorite part.
Yeah, I can go. I will go back and edit that out of the podcast, and then I'll seem like a very charming guy.
Do you guys want to? Maybe do you guys want to like be, take this opportunity? Because I would. I mean, I presume that Adam will be listening to these podcasts as they're coming out. I mean, anybody would because it's certainly like even just out of simple. Human.
Oh, he doesn't have my phone number. It's cool.
He doesn't have your phone number.
No, I'm kidding.
Okay. I'd say maybe like you guys could send a little like little video. I mean, sorry, an audio letter to him, you know, like a little wistful, you know, brotherly contact, you know, over our thing.
Give him a little soundtrack.
That's all you know.
This is your letter, your open letter to Adam, whatever you want to say to him.
Adam, Mom and Dad just really want you to get a job. We know you're trying. We know you're trying, but try harder. Times are tough for everyone. When they saw you in the backgrounds of Community and you looked within 20 years at Chevy Chase, that is not a good look. So keep going. We love you. We support you. But keep
Did
going.
The Friars Club sponsor this letter?
Hey, all right. The thing you can do for us is not let him respond to this. Because it's going to be way worse for us.
Well, yeah, but yeah. So you guys are scared of his like his brain and his mouth, right? Like he'll level that weird.
There's still two of us.
Yeah, that Lex Luthor death ray. Yeah. So Adam, okay, physically they can still kick your ass, but you got away. They would like you to make some money.
Can I ask a question here?
Of course.
To the audience, like I know the LA audience is kind of like.
What skeptical. You said,
skeptical. But, like, of the people listening, like, how does it play out for just listening here? Just.
Were you asking these people?
I thought he was a writer on Community.
Oh, yeah. This woman.
I just figured that he actually, like, had a role.
This young lady said, I thought he was a writer on Community. He probably texted you and told you that. There's a diabolical quality to him. He ends up
with everybody's phone number. One time we were at the drawing room.
Mostly after, women, though.
Yeah, yeah. Well, after a bar, after we go to this one bar after our show, and I was there, and he was working on some girl, and the girl had a friend, and he was drunk. They were dead drunk. And he's like, Jeff, come here. Give me your phone number. I'm like, no. Like, give me your phone number. Adam, fucking no way. No.
But he gets all the women's digits in like crazy weird Jedi ways. I was present the moment when he walked up to Aaron and he said, "So Aaron, my AT&T fucked up my phone and I finally got it back and I lost your number. I needed your number again." And Aaron kind of went 818 blah 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 blah. Gave it to him and he walked away and Aaron had this blank expression of his face. I never gave him my number.
It's no joke, man. It's no joke.
He's a Jedi. These are not the droids you want.
Yeah,
I didn't put anything in your drink.
You ever read the book? Did you ever read the book by Bud Shulman, "What Makes Sammy Run," about this character Sammy Glick?
I haven't read it.
Yeah, it's a good. I mean, that's read that book. It's about a guy that he's just this little like guy, the newspaper man, the guy that runs the papers and stuff like that, and he ends up running a studio in Hollywood simply out of will. And the just like the idea that there's nothing, there is no such thing as a human obstacle. Like people are things you can just move around like chess pieces, and it's not willfully mean. It's just the idea that the goal is something that's more important than the steps along the way.
And is it genetics that makes your brain like that, or is it your older brothers playing catch the baby out of the cradle?
Probably a combination of that and head injuries.
Definitely.
All right, Noah and Hare, everybody. Let's hear it for the Goldberg brothers.
Goldberg brothers. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Noah. Thank you, Harry. We've never had a disaster, Jeff. We just bring random people up on stage, and we, like you're trained for the stand-up like mythology and the and TV and stuff. Like when somebody starts popping off in the audience, everyone gets as uncomfortable as when like a baby is crying on an airplane. It's like there's a crisis. There's something happening. Like, this is gonna go bad. Like what's Rob Schneider gonna do? But at our show, I know we're spoiled because all these audiences are people who, you know, they listen to the podcast, they come out, they drive a long way, and they pay money, but then they're ready to have a good time. But like, I just love the human experiment. You can just drag people up, and they're like, I don't know. And then they start rapping, and they fucking bury the show. Like they just,
but when
like,
Noah came up, he gave me a pretty stern look, and he goes, I don't even know if I should shake your hand.
And he thought it was because he was protective of Adam.
Yeah, and then he just completely threw Adam under the bus.
Yeah, I mean, he really meant it. I don't know if I should shake your hand. I don't know. Yeah, right, that's
because. Right.
What? So, is he here?
Well, come up, Aaron. Aaron,
get on stage. Aaron McGathy.
This could go bad. I mean, I never know with this one.
Well, all I was going to say is that Adam just texted me, where my brother's drips.
Yeah, wow. Yeah.
See you guys.
Aaron McGathy, everybody.
Sniped from a distance by the Goldberg sniper rifle.
And yet the blood does kind of run cold. That we like Beetlejuice. We've mentioned his name so many times, and he just starts texting people.
That's fucking cool. Yeah, he's like Sherlock Holmes in that new remake in the BBC. I was like, what? There's text coming up. Like, he knows we're talking about him.
Having fun, Mr. Harmon?
Yeah. You amuse me so. He's like Q. He's not my Belloc. He's my Q from new Star Trek. I'm gonna get laid in Boston. Star Trek Next Generation reference. All right, Jeff. Just running through a couple more things. We're gonna be in Rhode Island tomorrow night, and we really encourage. Is there any incentive we can give people? Because it's not that long a drive, and apparently we're undersold there. We're sold out here. We've been. Drugs?
I'll get the location. Hang on.
Where'd you guys go? Is it 45 minutes? Yeah, no big deal. It's like a drive to grandma's house. Yeah, Providence, East Providence. A
lot of drugs.
I have a vaporizer in the tour bus.
No, they're saying there's lots of drugs there.
Oh.
I think, is that what you're saying?
Oh, no, we're going to Rhode Island. No, I think he was speaking the same way. I'm saying, is there anything we can incentivize people to like form a little caravan and come to, like, just go fill the seats at the Rhode Island show? Like,
Shugu.
Well, that's all incentive for us.
We're gonna be at the Comedy Connection in on Warren Avenue, East Providence, Rhode Island tomorrow night.
Right. All right. Yeah. Well, Aaron says you'll get a special button if you use the passphrase. I came here from Johnny D's.
Also, Spencer will give the first 40 people in the door a 20-minute deep tissue massage. Speaking of, let's bring Spencer up on stage.
Spencer, get up here. Oh shit, Spencer.
Yep.
He's wearing his Apple Store sweatshirt. Spencer, we're sharing a table tonight, kind of. I got my little dead soldiers.
Do you want me
soldiers.
To slide over?
No.
All right.
You're fine.
What up? Again, for those of you who already know Spencer, he's our dungeon master. For those of you who don't, he is going to master a dungeon later on. And God bless him, but we didn't know this guy really... from Adam, and not Adam Goldberg, from the old Adam, when we embarked on our tour. But I find, Spencer, you've been an absolute gem of a tour companion to have on the bus.
Jeff, really quick, I want to roll out the chicken noodle.
Song. Spencer, did you help write the chicken noodle song? Were you there?
No, I came in during the end. I might be able to help you guys out though.
Okay.
So Dan, I have some stupid tour bus songs about like I hold like things up to my dick and like there's Pringles dick and there's take a sip of my dick.
Yeah. Some people call me Pringles dick, but I never really found out why.
And you're holding the Pringles in.
I don't really have a Pringles dick. I just keep my dick inside.
I keep my dick
inside a Pringles can because it keeps my penis safe and dry.
I don't really... Some people call me
Pringles dick, but I never really found out.
No, I never found out. Never really found out why.
That's a song you can sing while you hold a Pringles can on your dick. All right, Somerville? So
Dan Harmon was laying supine on the forecastle of the tour bus. I don't know the fore room and the thing. And there's a big couch, and he's reclined back there. And we're all, you know, we were leaving Brooklyn last night on a big high from the Brooklyn show, which was immensely good last night. And we're driving back.
Not as good as this.
No. This is way better.
Stage dive. Yeah. I mean, later in a couple minutes.
Yeah. Can we get the biggest guys up front? Dan was laying there, and I started handing Dan various objects because Dan expressed a desire to sing, like, try his own hand at these improvised. My dick is shaped like.
Yeah,
something
I want to have fun with the dick songs.
So we tried the little honey bear thing. Or we tried a honey bear dick, and that didn't go
honey
so well.
Honey bear dick, I got a honey. Fuck it.
And then aspirin dick was no good. There was
my aspirin dick. I can't do it. You know,
I
kept failing. Kept failing.
So we found a can of chicken, a Progresso chicken noodle soup, and. He just kept
swapping objects under my dick, like making me get out of my headspace. And you were like a great like Iron Eagles Lou Gossett Jr. like mentor. just stop thinking about it. Stop thinking about it. And then finally the last object was a can of chicken noodle soup, a big fat Progresso can of chicken noodle soup. And I went, here I am. And then we wrote the song from there.
And then it floundered. We're like, no, I don't. But we could tell, like Tin Pan Alley songwriters that we do. There's a gem there. There's a kernel.
Here I am.
I ain't got a dick. I got a chicken noodle can.
All my life I've been putting my hands on my chicken noodle wife. Chicken noodle god, come down from the mountain. Chicken noodle man, you gotta work all day. Chicken noodle man, you gotta cross the River Jordan. Feed the devil soup until your troubles go away. It's a spiritual. It is.
I mean, for the lack of a better word, it's a Negro spiritual about God cursing you with a strange dick and forcing you to work your whole life and struggle. But
it's about being gibbeted by God.
Yes. But the payoff is the curse of this chicken noodle can. You can feed the devil soup and make your troubles go away.
Yeah. It's like a hard working fucking.
It's ridiculous. We should. If anyone out listening wants to remix that, put some picks on the.
Yeah. Let's just give him one clean audio track. Let's do it one more time. Like, here I am. I ain't got a dick, I got a chicken noodle can.
Don't start clapping until chicken noodle god can. I'll give you the cue for the clapping. So it's going to start out without the clapping. I think it works better.
And then you, sir, wear a diaper and fly across with a banner. No. Let's not get too...
76 trombones.
We need Kara on costume design. Okay. Oh, Jesus, okay. I'm falling everywhere. All right.
Okay, here we go. One, two, three. Here I am.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh,
all right.
Fuck. Here I am.
Start over. That was terrible.
Sorry.
It's gonna end up.
Here I am.
Stop it.
One, two, three, four. Here I am.
I ain't got a dick. I got a chicken noodle can. All my life I've been putting my hand in my chicken noodle wife. Chicken noodle god, come down from the mountains. Chicken noodle man, you gotta work all day. Chicken noodle man, you gotta cross the River Jordan. Feed the devil soup until your troubles go away.
Feed the devil soup until your troubles go away.
We can make some more verses to that, too, I think, as we go.
Yeah, I think the next verse has to be about the chicken noodle wife. I'm concerned about her.
Yeah, she's at home.
Keep getting fucked by a chicken noodle can. Yeah. That doesn't make me a chicken noodle wife. I'm a person.
Yeah, he kind of acts like she's a big job for him.
Yeah.
Putting this can inside my chicken noodle wife, poor baby. Yeah. It's a very sexist song.
And also, all my life, you're like, oh, really? We met when you were 20.
In his defense, he's probably like building a lot of railroad and not for a lot of pay. If shit rolls downhill a little bit to the woman he loves, like maybe there could be some support there. Maybe she gets her own song. Maybe she can be like a Dolly Parton figure and go like, "No, little girl, when you're waiting for your man to come home, no. Ain't enough chicken noodle in that can for me. Ain't that right?" A rise up, sisters. Yeah. Put him in his place.
Yeah, if people feel that they have a verse, to add to that, you know, please tumble that shit. All right.
All right, can we do our regular segment? I'm really convinced this is going to pay off. It's called Spencer's Complaints About Looney Tunes Cartoons. Spencer is...
Yeah. Spencer comes down. You think, you know, that he would be, he'd have a softness in his heart for the Looney Tunes characters, but he really comes down like a ton of lead.
Yeah, yeah. The more you find out about this guy, the more you love him. We took him to Charlotte. He loved the sleet. Then we took him to Times Square. He hated Times Square. Like, and you go like, yeah, good. Like he's a
barometer.
He's like Henry David Thoreau. He's like, and he's not fallen for any of those Tasmanian devil bullshit. Sorry, some of you probably have a tattoo of him somewhere, but all right, let's play a theme song. Spencer's complaints about Looney Tunes. He hates it. He hates Looney Tunes. Period.
You always
got subjected to cartoons. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. No, dancing. I was just commenting on your dancing.
All right. So do you want to team up with a question, Dan?
No, okay.
Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner.
Well, I like that. That's like the one Looney Tunes I enjoy.
Well, then don't talk about that. Oh.
No, but
wait, do you guys like her? I don't get it. Honestly confused, not joking. Anyway. Wile E. Coyote, I mean, he has, his dad's credit card. I don't know. Where does he get all the money for the shit that he buys? And not only, just crazy shit, but, literally, surreal shit. Like, a paint-your-own-hole-in-a-wall, kit. But it's just, does Acme not sell, rotisserie Roadrunner? It's so easy. He's spending millions of dollars. I'm sure there's a restaurant.
All right.
Spencer hates Looney Tunes. Also, that track I just played is 1 minute and 11 seconds, and you ended exactly on time.
I have great back timing.
Here I am. Ain't gonna dick. I'm gonna chicken noodle can. Sorry. I love it. All right. Should we start playing Dungeons and Dragons?
I think we should.
All right.
Let's
that's the first time that's been applauded anywhere near Boston. We're in Brooklyn as a sold out crowd. It's like people are cheering for a Ray of Frost spells.
All right, so what
have we wrought?
We have to welcome Mulrain Sedana, Aaron McGaffey to the stage.
Hey, really quick, maybe this is just in my head. But it feels like there have been a lot of references to you getting blown and you getting laid. And
I'm sorry. No.
I just want to know if we're okay.
Yeah, we're fine. I was actually specifically going to do a relationship check-in with you.
Oh, okay. Well, then I'll save it.
Because
Do that now.
Yeah. Spencer, get your dice lined up or whatever goes on over there.
How are we doing, baby?
I think we're doing good.
Yeah, no, the joke's about that, you know, Jeff's making jokes like somebody's blowing me,
right.
You know.
And then you said I won't get laid and back.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
No, it's fine. Maybe you were talking about me. Maybe you're worried about enticing me.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, Aaron.
Cheap laughs.
Aaron, it gets lonely for a guy on the road.
But he brought his girlfriend. He brought his portable hole. His do-it-yourself hole kit.
Wow. There's 850,000 reasons never to be in a relationship with me, and the only one that there isn't is that way I would ever. I just don't have the capacity.
No, I know.
I've never done it. I'm 40.
He's a great guy. He's a great guy, everybody, and a great boyfriend. He's a great boyfriend.
I'm not. The road is hard for a relationship. We're in a tour bus and we're in a hotel room, and it's like, well, why aren't we doing it all the time?
Because we have sex with wood. there's a wood block. There's a hole on one side and then a thing on the other, and we have this swing that we sit in. And there's no time for it.
We're Orthodox Amish. We're not allowed to look at each other. We have these Iron Man suits made of wood, and they just have an opening for our dicks. She has a dick, and we just rub them together. We're snails. We're asexual wooden iron men.
Now, I would say, mercifully, I have not caught or heard you guys doing it on the tour bus. No.
It'd be really hard to do on the tour bus. Boo.
Hard and awesome.
Are you booing Jeff not seeing us have sex?
No, he's booing you guys not fucking on the tour bus.
There's these little
spooned.
Yeah, we cradle each other. There's these little bunks, and you draw a little curtain across, and it'd be
tight,
weird. You'd hear my belt buckle jingling, It would be. It wouldn't be real sex. It would be like a hand job or something, and it'd be like you'd just hear like jingling and.
Right, and I cry pretty loud. So.
Yeah. Chicken noodle man, come on.
No, what I made already. I'm working on it. I'm going to write that female part, and I'm going to create a fake Twitter account, and I'll tweet it to you, and I'll be like, Hazmat45, I don't know why that's my...
Hazmat45. So somebody's got some subconscious herpes denial.
Any random jingling on that bus is going to give me nightmares.
That's why I take off my belt in that bunk, because I don't want anyone to think I'm jerking off. And it sounds like I'm jerking. I go, every time I roll over, it sounds like I'm jerking off.
Oh man, have you jerked off on the bus?
Not on the bus.
What have you jerked off on?
I did in the hotel room.
Well, wish I was around for that.
Well, you weren't. You were getting me food. I'm not. This the title of tonight's show isn't "I'm a good boyfriend," or I wouldn't have. I'm not trying to pull anything over on anyone.
That's why I came back with the food, and you were just asleep with a smile on your face.
No, I would just watch Harry Potter 2 and.
Oh yeah, that gets me every time.
Oh, they're fighting the evil wizards. No, I don't know. No, it wasn't.
No, it's okay.
It wasn't
it's
one of those moments that you're thinking.
It's okay.
I was very discreet about it. You never knew. You never suspected.
Aaron, have you masturbated on the bus? Hesitation.
Yeah. They're just like us. They're like us.
Oh, God, I'm trying to get a rap beat.
They're just like us.
Yeah, you did it, didn't you?
Well, you know, God, this is such a big room. Yes, clearly I did it.
See, women get applause for that.
And this is how I did it. Dan, should I do it?
Sure.
Oh, no, you're supposed to say
Dateline, tour bus. My girlfriend masturbated in a bunk. She's a woman of the people, having fun on the road, getting it all out there.
I just did it to fall asleep a couple of times.
Yeah, that's why I always do it.
Yeah, well, whatever, it's fine. This is a great time for me to point out that I was a camp counselor for several years, and one of my campers is here tonight.
Let's get her up here.
Emma, come on. Are you cool?
I forgot about that. Specific talk about bunk masturbation.
Yeah, your Camp Catler was masturbating on the
Emma!
Bus today.
Emma Brooke, everybody. Hi. Shake your head. Hello. Emma.
Hey.
I can trump that. The 19-year-old webmaster of my Tumblr blog is here. Marissa, get up here. It's a competition to make each other uncomfortable. I just want to let's get it all out. Like it's weird going on tour. Marissa runs the Having Change Tumblr blog.
And if you bought Dan's book, when I was editing Dan's book, Marissa helped me by I called her and asked a million things of her, and she helped me by finding Tumblr dates and stuff. Her name's in the book. If you want her to sign your book, that's great.
Yeah.
And Emma is super smart and cool, and I was her counselor when she was 14, and I'm sorry I masturbated on the bus.
No.
And Marissa brought her mom. So, like...
Let's bring her up.
Marissa's mom. Where's Marissa's mom? Year-old man drinking and talking about sex and masturbation. Underage women on stage. Everybody's having a good time. Bring up the mom. Bring up the mom. Bring up the mom. Bring up the mom.
Hey.
Hello.
Hi.
so sorry, ma'am.
I am not sorry at all about this.
What's your name?
Mitzi.
Mitzi, okay. And so Marissa told me, we did a little interview for the little movie we're making. She said that you, because she needed to come here, she can't, it's a club, it's 21 and over, she needed a legal guardian to come. So you listened for the first time to the podcast of this guy she's a fan of. What was your reaction?
I was glad I was alone.
Oh. Did you masturbate?
Stop, Jeff. No, yeah, everybody's having a good time. Ask your moms if they masturbate in front of their daughters. Insane. This is officially more insane than Brooklyn. We have lost our minds. You did it. Congratulations. You gibbet people, and you bring this out of us. I don't know what happens in this. I'm all so. Right.
Yankees suck, right?
Oh, Yankees suck. Yeah. Yes.
Now it's happening.
This is where we get stabbed.
The steering wheel came off.
How are you enjoying the show?
I'm absolutely loving it. But I. I actually have a story about Aaron, kind of related to masturbation.
Oh, no. Jesus.
Just hanging out.
Oh, God. All right, well, I doubt she has any recollection of this whatsoever, but Aaron actually taught me... Aaron actually taught me what feminine wetness was. So
we went to a very, or the camp is very experimental. What do you mean?
What's the address of this place?
It's in Maine. Maine.
How did I teach you about feminine wetness?
Well, I remember we were all...
The hard way.
Well, do you remember when we used to like hang out on the porch of the bunk, like kind of late at night? We'd talk about boys and men, and
it was This Feels Terrible, the podcast, but on a porch.
Yeah, very early incarnation of This Feels Terrible, but We were chilling out there. It was me and a few of my friends, and Aaron comes out, and we were like, Aaron, what does wet mean? Like, what does it mean when you get wet? And she just got so uncomfortable. And
well, that's good. I'm glad you didn't say, a smile came across her face.
I thought you'd never ask. Cut to Cancun.
Cut to a cartoon owl looking at the camera. Oh.
What did I say? Was it appropriate?
It was a very clinical definition. You were just like, when a woman gets aroused, she, her vagina gets wet.
Say what?
You'll see someday. All right, okay, that's good.
Well, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right. We learned a lot at Harmontown. Take your mamas. Come on down. Everybody's going to learn a thing or two. Oh, whoa, whoa. How do you get wet? What do you do? Okay, Jesus. This is insane. Are there any 14-year-olds in the audience? Can I get you another root beer float? What do we do, Jeff? We have a chorus of spiraling shame and irony up here. What do we... Adam
Goldberg's on the air again?
He wrote to me knowing that his brothers are here. He hasn't replied. You want to hear
Yes, what does Adam Goldberg have to say?
All right, well, we need you on mic though, because
let's just have the we'll
just
go
come
out
on
there.
Up here.
The,
are you
that'll be the stage. We'll just everyone at some point is going to get on the stage tonight.
Yeah. But first of all, do you know how to get wet? Okay, I'm sorry, that was too far. Come on up so we can hear this. You're Matt, right?
Yeah.
Right. So you have a relationship with Adam Goldberg?
Yeah, I know him from the dryer.
A bar in L.A., okay. Right. And so Adam Goldberg sent you a text.
He knew that his brothers were here, and he has a reply for you.
Okay.
Do you want to read it, or?
No, you read it.
All right. If they are being mean to me, ask Dan how many cool T-shirts he sold. What does he think that makes his fan art? Who does he think that makes his fan art, updates his wiki, and upvotes his 101 videos? Sure as hell ain't the Allison Breeze of the world. I met her, though.
Pause for gravity.
I met her, though. She's super nice. Look, I really...
Oh, no. Everybody's spiraling.
Look, I really hard want to care about how people view me. I really do. But I can't recapture the feathers from the pillowcase. I can't make people like me if they honestly don't want to. I can be a positive person, the best version of my authentic self, and continue to be humorous, honest, and loving. If some people think I'm a gremlin or a robot or a grimbot, well, that is the price of entering the public sphere. We can't all be Johnny Unitas.
Wow. Adam Goldberg. Dominates.
Wait, Adam Goldberg knows who Johnny Unitas is?
Yeah. Right. Well, he certainly spiked that one in the fucking end zone.
What's your name?
Matt,
everybody. Thank you, Matt.
Thank you. Jesus Christ.
So Adam thought that he was really thrown under the bus, which I don't think he was.
Will the court see a rejoinder, Your Honor?
What? Okay. Uh-oh. All right. Sure. All right.
Jesus Christ.
All right.
Come on up.
Let's.
No. I'm all for this stuff, man. This is what I want.
We've gone off the rails.
I just want to remind the listeners that Missy Marissa's mom is still on stage.
Yeah. She's just standing with her hands folded in front of her. She's very patient. Best mom in the world. And I can't
give a rejoinder for.
Okay. All right. And your name is?
My name is Nick.
Okay. Just
made it up.
Fake name.
it's N-I-C. There's no K.
Alright. This doesn't make it less fake, but it makes it more fake. My name's Bob Johnson. That's a fake name. No, it's spelled with a Q.
I think he was yes-anding you that it was fake. He's like, yeah, it is fake.
Okay. Thank you, sweetie. All right, Nick.
Gonna think about this later.
What's the rejoinder?
My rejoinder would be how. My rejoinder would be how brilliant you are. But the only way I can.
No, don't boo him. Don't boo him. He's you. He's me.
That means I have to leave. They booed.
Thank you. I agree. I'm brilliant. Worst rejoinder ever. That's what they were booing. All right. We hit peak.
Peak insanity.
Yes.
Yeah. No, I think we're not even halfway home, baby.
You're right. We're peak insanity would be like, oh my God, we're gonna run out of insanity. It's the opposite problem, right? Where we've hit the point in Day of the Dead where the elevator is coming down.
I think since
the
we
loading
have
dock elevator.
Since we have this kind of this chorus of beautiful ladies up here, maybe we should try the song. We'll teach them the lyrics. Maybe, I'm sorry. What was your name on the end there?
Emma.
You probably already know the lyrics to the anthem, right? The Come On Down to Harmontown. Do you know?
Let's try it out. Yeah, I could probably. Oh shit.
Oh shit. We'll make it quick. Then we gotta play D&D, yo. Okay, yo. I'll do some rapping. Then she'll sing the Rihanna part, and you'll be clapping. And it's
My name is Dan Harmon, I'm sorry about the show. I try to do things by the cuff, but sometimes it blows. Came to Somerville trying to do something nice. I'm sorry that I couldn't have a lot of ice. But I'm still an alcoholic, I still like to drink. I fucked your mama all up and down the kitchen sink. Put her pussy in the drain and turned it on. I saw your mama go down till the break of dawn. Yeah. Come on down to Harmon Town. Turn that frown upside down.
Strength.
He is yellow, poop is brown.
Struggle.
Come on down to Harmon Town. Speakers in front of me, they look like demons inside. I wanna fuck your mama so hard she gets twice as wide. I fuck your mama at every avenue. I fucked your mama, I'm so sorry about you being up here. I'm so sorry. There's a literal mama behind me. It's very comfortable. I don't mean it. It's just an expression. I'm so sorry. Obama's recession. Come on down to Harmon Town.
Politics.
Bring that frown upside down.
Fiscal cliff.
Hands up.
Your ass crack is hanging out.
My ass crack. Ass crack hanging out of the back. That means I'm a working class person, like people from the city that likes Goodwill Hunting steeple. Matt Damon likes them apples. I think that screenplay was stinkier than crapples. Don't go to a window and say, how do you like them? Any normal person would say, that's fucking stupid. Come on down to Harmon Town.
Matt Damon.
Turn that frown upside down.
Affleck.
He is a yellow, poop is brown.
Duck.
Come on down to Harmon Town.
Cars. Oh,
thank you, ladies. Woo! All
right. Emma, Missy, and Marissa.
That's how we get them.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mitzi.
Any other ladies have any questions about why you get wet?
Mitzi, I'm so sorry.
Also, her name is Missy.
She has a milk crate for a stare. All she wanted to do was raise a good daughter.
What?
And she did everything right, and then completely out of her control, the internet was invented. She had no choice. She didn't get to sign off on that. No one ever came to her home and said, should we have an internet? Well, what's that? It means that a gross, horrible, alcoholic, middle-aged man will be a part of your daughter's life. The nays have it. No, they don't. You don't get to choose. It's the internet. But I will. She's a good kid, and you've definitely done something right. Because I met her for the first time tonight, and she's survived the last year unscathed. She's not a dirtbag.
No,
she's a good kid.
Yeah, she seems very intelligent too.
So my takeaway is just keep being a gross, creepy asshole.
Absolutely.
I'm making better women.
All right, Spencer, get us up
all right,
to date.
Spencer, catch us up to date. Let's.
When we last met, the trio had just been regrouping after collecting some treasure in a locker room of a great flying ship. Ascending a magical pole, Sharpie saw a fighting force of Darkstar's evil men. Thinking quickly, the mage conjured a squid, crushing several of the minions. The ship's pilot, the Sinister Dave, played by Jason Sudeikis, leapt into action, blinding, tripping, and flatulating on Quark in a flurry of humorous combat. The two fought with knives, and after a ray of frost to the eye and a critical arrow, Dave was slain. The pint-sized armored figure falls onto the floor with a clatter. The dead squid dissolves into air, freeing the previously trapped crewmen. They cower in fear. Go!
All right. We did it.
So we got these guys on the run now.
Yeah.
So that guy's dead. There's those three other guys. They were, like, trapped under the thing. They're not trapped, but they're just cowering in fear.
Are they armored? Or are they kind of innocent?
They're not wearing much of anything. Like that whip guy.
Okay.
Listen to the podcast. Throw on your weapons. I'm saying to them, throw on your weapons.
They have no weapons.
I
give them some weapons.
Yeah.
You give them some throwing knives?
Yeah, all right. I give them some throwing knives. And then
throw them down.
They do that.
I go and pick up my throwing knives. And I go, watch it.
Yeah. How does that feel to be given weapons and then made to surrender them?
Yeah.
Not very well.
Yeah. Say it again.
Not very well.
Say it louder. I'm psychologically breaking you.
One of them breaks psychologically.
I drink his soul.
You gain 3 hit points.
Uh-oh. I just went down an L. Ron Hubbard road.
All right, just a metaphor for drug abuse or something.
I just found out a new way to...
We don't know what they want, right?
No. You don't.
I use diplomacy.
Okay.
Sorry.
So what do you want to say? Like...
I want to say sorry about everything, I think. What's going on? What are you doing under there?
I don't know how to drive the ship.
Oh, shit, is the ship crashing?
You hear a voice come from the overhead. Autopilot disengaged.
Uh-oh.
The steering wheel of the ship spins wildly to the right, and countless alarms flash, disorienting you.
I run... Well,
sorry, I'm a ranger.
Accurate. Okay, rangers have pilot skills? I run to the steering wheel and grab it.
Grab it. It's very difficult to hold on to the terrible bulk of the wheel, but you manage to right its course.
Hey, this thing's hard to hold. You're stronger than me.
Yeah, okay. Would I do better holding the wheel, Spencer? I go and assist and try my luck at holding the wheel and steadying the ship.
After it's already been steadied by Sharpie, you find it very, very easy to hold it on a steady course. Yeah. However, you don't know where the ship's headed.
Ah. Weren't there some maps in the other room?
That's true. You left them there, I think.
Okay, I run back to the other room. It's safe going, right? We killed everybody on board, right?
You're holding the wheel.
Shit. Hotshot, go get those maps. I'll drive.
Mulrain, go get the maps.
Are you going to jerk off again? Because every time she leaves the room, you start masturbating.
I'm going to use hypnotism to get some information out of these guys.
Okay.
All right, so I'll go get the maps.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I bound away, and my hair flows like a river of kisses. And this scent comes from my hair that's like lilacs and heaven. And I turn back, and I giggle, and then I walk into the other room.
Yep. The sirens are still going off.
I look on the panel for anything that might indicate, can I use my intelligence, my extreme Dan Harmon type intelligence, to determine if I could tell on this panel if there's anything that'll shut these alarms off?
There's nothing that'll shut them off. They seem to be indicating some sort of pressure regulation warnings.
Oh, is the hatch still open?
Maybe. Which hatch?
The one I entered through from the
that
bottom.
That one's not open.
Oh. That's what about, all I can what about say. The hatches where the cannons were?
Those were sealed. So.
Okay.
All right. Fuck it. Fuck that thing. If I want to get information out of people, as a sidebar, is it better to use charm person or hypnotism?
I'd use charm person.
Okay. I cast charm person on one person.
The guy whose soul you broke.
Yeah. Yeah.
That happens.
Okay. Is he my buddy now?
He's feared of you, but yeah. Yeah. Okay.
What's your name, buddy?
Clint.
Oh. Hey, Clint. Wait, you having a good time piloting the ship?
I'm in fear.
Yeah? Me too, buddy. We're all afraid. Like everyone's afraid of things they don't know, but you know what always helps me when I'm afraid? I figure out everything I can about what I do know. It's like where's the ship? Where was the ship going?
I was going to the north. To regroup?
Okay.
With
all right.
Them.
You know what doesn't help fear?
What?
Vagueness. You know what always cuts through it? Specificity. Like coordinates, like names.
I don't have the education to understand such coordinate systems.
Do you have the education to understand that I will fuck your world up?
I thought we were friends?
Yeah. A good friend will fuck you up.
He's broken again.
Ask him, Sharpie, ask him if he knows how to get the pressure systems back to normal.
How do you get the pressure systems going, Clint?
He's bawling on the floor.
Clint! Clint! No, look at me. Clint, look at me.
I step in and play good cop. I said, listen, sorry about my friend, man.
I want a piece of that asshole.
Hey, Sharpie, go get a cup of decaf and I'll just take it easy.
I'll be back and then you're fucking dead, Clint.
Okay. Clint, I'm sorry about my partner. His wife just was killed by a cabinet.
An animated cabinet.
Yeah, an animated...
Stupid presidents. Where do they appoint those people?
They're murderers.
Clint, look, man, I don't want you've been nothing but doing us favors. Do you know how to stop this, how to repressurize the ship?
You need to find one of those little black creatures. They know how this thing works.
Don't be racist,
okay,
Clint.
Weird turn. Okay,
I'm sorry, they're called imps.
Imps?
Imps.
Imps?
I-M-P. I do know how to spell various creatures' names.
Okay. What deck and how do I get to these knowledgeable imps?
They might be in the engine room.
All right, I run off to the engine room.
You head down the ladder into the engine room.
Can I see anything out of the... Is there a windshield?
Yeah, there is a windshield.
Do I see the other ships? Is there like a fleet of ships?
There's actually not. You can't see any ships around you. You find that slightly odd, to be honest.
Yeah, we've deviated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I should
You're
mention
telling
that,
me.
That Quark stepped
we
away
deviated
from the wheel.
What?
The Quark stepped away from the wheel.
Oh, so grab the wheel.
Shit, I grab it.
You don't hear him because he's in the engine room at this point.
I climb back up the ladder and yell, hey, sorry, my bad. Grab the wheel, Sharpie.
All right, that happens.
Boy. I come running back into the room.
Yeah.
How does your hair look? You did? Oh, wow, you did something new with it. Is that bangs?
Bangs or rainbows, you tell me. Yes, my hair is flowing, and my breasts, like, they're slow motion almost, but then
I go back into the engine room.
Sharpie.
Yes.
Here are the maps.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
There's a musical sting indicating that, you know, I too know what it is to be wet.
Well, I came into the room with my hair down to here. Looked
right.
into.
We don't have time for that.
Right. Here are the maps. And as a ranger, I know that we need to go north. Also, I overheard you. Should go north.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I just got to keep this wheel straight.
Sharpie, you got some squid glue goo on your shirt. Oh. Get that off.
Thank you.
You're such a mess.
Listen, make sure those three guys don't move. You know, secure them somehow.
Okay. I fire two arrows.
Jesus Christ.
No, we might need these guys. We might need... These are not foes right now.
No. I shoot it at their... is there any part of your body that's not painful to get shot with an arrow? I shoot it at their hair.
Oh, okay.
Their earlobes?
Yeah, through their... They all have earrings. Shoot through their...
Well, one of them hits the guy in the eye.
Terrific. Might have needed him. Might have needed him.
The other hits you in the foot.
Okay.
And you take...
Ha! Adventure!
One damage.
Jesus.
I'm sorry. I've been very distracted lately.
Just keep an eye on them.
I'll take one away, apparently.
Meanwhile, in the engine room...
I was just going to do that. Yeah, good.
Yeah. I examine the surroundings in the engine room.
Whoosh. The engine room slides open. You see eight identical machine-like machines. They have some vaguely machine-like qualities. Pistons firing and tubes going to and fro. You see several fluids pumped through the various devices. You can see one off in the corner. It's venting a strange green gas, and you can see two black creatures crawling across it, hitting it with metal tools.
Guys, what's going on in here?
They hiss at you in a language you don't understand.
Whoa. Did somebody feed you after midnight? Or get you wet? A chaturanga.
What did you say, chaturanga?
Yeah, I cast magic callback. I approach them to examine the machinery.
There's a large crack in one of the casings. That's why it's venting gas. I'm not sure what this stuff is.
Are they trying to fix it or destroy
they do,
it?
They do appear to be trying to fix it.
So I should leave them to their task, probably, right?
Maybe. Maybe they won't fix it. I don't know.
Anybody out there got any ideas?
Whip one at a wall.
Whip one at a wall?
I take one of them and whip him at a wall. I pick him up with my strength and throw one of them at the wall to send a message to the other one to get on the fucking stick and stop the gas leak.
He falls to the ground and is unconscious.
And I look at the other guy, I'm like, oh?
The other guy's not paying attention. He's going back to trying to work on this thing.
Okay, I go and assist him.
Okay.
I mean, he seems like he's doing his job, right?
He's sending a lot of mixed
he asks for some
employer.
Tools.
Look.
He like looks at you expectantly and hisses something at you.
Do I have any ability to like to understand him or?
I speak that language. Maybe I.
You know, I run back upstairs, grab the wheel at the bridge, relieve Sharpie. He goes back down into the engine room.
You tag out.
Goldberg style.
Yeah.
Go.
All right, I go to the room. I carefully follow Jeff's directions. Go left, then keep going. If you go to the bathroom, you go too far.
Yeah. Pass the unconscious imp laying below the wall.
All right.
Imp is hissing about how this was a two-person job. And
Well, now it's a one-person job. How do we do it? What can I do? I'm a wizard.
Well, you speak the language,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you speak the language.
So this
so what are they saying?
He's like, I need sovereign glue.
Well, this is hardly the time.
This is exactly the time.
Oh, okay. I was doing a dumb joke.
Oh, is the sovereign glue that big glowing jello that was in the other room with the face bubbling up to it?
You don't know that it's not?
Ooh.
All right, what does sovereign glue look like, imp?
It comes in a yellow bottle. It's usually well labeled.
It's not all that bad.
It should be in the locker room.
Oh, the locker. Didn't we get everything out of the locker room?
You got all the treasure.
Ah.
All right, I go to the locker room.
You go to the locker room.
You're find the yellow glue.
You do. You find it.
Hey! That's applause bigger than warranted.
Yeah. Well,
you found glue?
How you look at it. They're like, yeah. Finish it! The babysitter's getting extra. All right, I take the yellow glue back to the engine room.
That happens. You give him the yellow glue, and he sets to work. He says, it should be about 5 minutes. I think I got this.
5 minutes?
Yeah.
Skip.
Thanks, imp. You know what? You're a good imp.
Skip.
I could see you retiring one day with a happy imp family, but I guess that's not how impage works.
No. No, it's not.
Oh, yeah, no, is it?
All right, good day. I go back up to the bridge.
As you go back up to the bridge, you can't help but flash back.
Okay.
You flash back to your mother's tales. Son, don't forget the infinifish who will eat you up at night. He'll fly past the moon in your window and eat you with a bite. Oh, that terrible infinifish, he'll give you such a fright. That's the last thing you think of before you hear an earth-shattering impact on the hole. Everything goes black.
Cliffhanger. Cliffhanger?
Cliffhanger.
Cliffhanger!
Spencer, everybody. Dungeons & Dragons! It's hip. It's cool. It's the coolest thing in the world. It's my final revenge on the cool population. I have made Dungeons & Dragons cool.
One more time for Aaron McGathy. And Spencer Crittenden.
And a fond fuck you to my gym teachers throughout the years. Turns out this is a fine way to pass the time. Have yet to earn money doing a pull-up. Having a pretty good time playing Dungeons & Dragons, Mr. Rainer. All right, well, let's...
I think we can bring this train into the station.
Of course.
I mean, what have we learned tonight?
It's Somerville. Hey, let's get out of here before it's Fallville.
Fallville. But they spell it F-O-L-L.
Yeah. Hey.
Why is it S-O-M-M? Anybody know? Somebody's name?
They made it up. That's what I was saying. They made it up at a town meeting. No one knows why. It's just because this Walburn guy was a fucking...
sheep fucker. Yeah, he was a sheep fucker. How many vodkas did you get through up here? Did you do them all? You finished mine, by the way.
I can't tell because I kept marrying them. That's the danger. If we had a fifth up here, then we could monitor.
Where the fuck's Matt? We paid him enough.
No. Matt didn't do anything wrong. There's just a bunch of empty glasses, and I'm happy. I can measure it in happiness. I'm very happy. I've had a good time in Somerville. Aaron told me that you guys set a record that we didn't know was settable for a pre-show sale of merchandise. Like, I guess you guys bought the most shit like before the show.
But can they go for the total?
No, that's not why we're here. I'm taking a loss on the tour. I'm doing this to indulge my own 40-year-old fantasies. We're not a profiteering people. We're just coming through town. But we do have T-shirts and maps and photos and whatever the hell. I don't know, glow worms, whatever the fuck.
And the I Love Spencer pin where the heart is a 20-sided die, which is awesome.
And if you buy that stuff, I'm happy to sign it. I can't turn anybody down. So I'll be here all night until the last thing is signed.
Do you think it's possible to do audience passing with tables in here? Or is that really reckless?
I don't know, man. I don't know. That would be the ultimate fuck you to Brooklyn.
Yeah.
If we could somehow manage. Just gotta make sure my wallet and my phone.
Find your center first, man.
Thank you, Somerville.
Find out what this is about, what Somerville means to us. Where are we in our tour?
There are four seasons in the year, but this most special one is right here in Somerville. It's where I wanted to kill up on the stage, and I did all right. And I think we all had a halfway decent night. And I don't know what you paid, but I think we're gonna be all right in Somerville. I fucked your mama, she was on the pill. She didn't get pregnant, so I will not have a child with her. But if I did, I'd raise it like Raymond Burr. I'd teach him to be Perry Mason, and he'd solve cases on TV with hastened justice. He'd cross-examine people and get to the bottom of shit in Harmontown. Harmontown. Sing it.
Harmontown.
Harmontown. We're making it up. I don't know. So we're making it up. I fucked your mama. I fucked your mama. I fucked your mama. I fucked your mama. Hold on. I'll get it together. Don't worry about it. I fucked your mama tonight. I went to your mama's house. I rang the doorbell and said hello. She said, come inside of my house and have some ambrosia salad with jello. I laid down on the table. It got so nasty. She poured it over me, I didn't care. I fucked your mama so hard I changed the color of her hair. Went out in Harmontown. Harmontown. I fucked your mama in Harmontown, where pee is yellow and poo is brown. I fucked your mama so hard in Harmontown.
All right, get the biggest people to the forward. Get the biggest.
Yeah!
We can do it.
We're doing it.
I fucked your mama tonight. I fucked your mama in Somerville, and I'm lifting even higher than Brooklyn still. I'm touching the ceiling at Johnny D's in Somerville. That's a new record. Way down in Harmontown.
Thank you so much, Johnny D's, for coming tonight. I want to thank Cara.
Thank you.
Cara. The Goldberg brothers, Emma, Marissa, and Mitzi for coming up here.
A special thanks to Mitzi, really.
Special thanks
for securing
Mitzi.
Our children's future.
One more time for Spencer. Aaron.
Thank you, Aaron.
I'm Jeff Davis. Let's hear one more time for the mayor, Mr. Dan Harmon.
fuck your mama, fuck your mama.
Let's all go to the bar and get fucked up.
Yeah.